If you spend 10 minutes a day in any law firm just documenting how things work, yeah, you can compile it back into a manual or through Microsoft Word or something of that nature and make it formal. But it's just that it's important as you're going to have to change your technology at some point. And you're going to have to make things change. Courts, legislation changing, business process changing. It's just good to have that as a baseline.
Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeldt, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high-performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Arkfeldt, president and founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. And today, I have Keith Conrad, the managing partner of Verbatim DS, which is a firm focused on helping small law firms operate more effectively and increase profits, joining me. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you for having me on.
Keith, let's start with a little bit of background. Why don't you tell me how you got started with law firms and then also Verbatim? Just a little bit of background on you.
Well, my background, about 20 years. I've worked for some of the larger law firms and government agencies in Washington. Doing everything from integration of technology into these firms through also process analysis and some strategy as the technology began to take hold in the larger firms, beginning to look at what we really wanted it to do. And that was pretty much my role for, as I say, 20 years. And surviving in Washington for 20 years is really what I'm I don't know how I did that, but we did, and it was nice. But, it opened up the door for the opportunity to work with small firms and to take these principles and some of the mistakes and things that were overlooked when the larger firms were implementing and lessons learned and applying those now to smaller firms. We started Verbatim based on the fact that with all the subscription legal technology services out there, Clio and others, smaller firms could have the same access. They can have the same advantage as the larger firms had without having to set up an IT shop in a closet somewhere. And that's really the origin of Verbatim. Initially, Verbatim was on Capitol Hill in Washington for some 20 years. It was a transcription firm, but it was well-connected, a lot of attorneys, lobbyists. And we were able to use that to sort of evolve into the focus that we have today.
And so the focus that you have today, it's, just talk to me about that a little bit. Is it bringing the technology processes and strategies that you saw with larger firms, bringing that into smaller firms so that they can, experience the same benefits?
Essentially, yeah, that was what we looked at. The initial hit with legal technology seemed to be very focused on the functionality. But the business of law, the ability to take this investment and make it friendly off across practice areas and other things within the firm, other tasks in the firm, wasn't the focus. And I think now that you have affordable technology, the focus has to be on the process, on the business of law. How does a firm get from A to Z in their processes, whether it's billing or intake or matter management? There's a process. And the one thing I would say that is overarching in our company, and certainly that I could pass on to anyone else, it all comes down to how you're doing it. What is the process that you do now? And it's a painful process sometimes. The one advice I would say that it was sort of not lacking, or was lacking in the past, not lacking so much now, is understand your business, because you can't transform the technology, whether you're a large firm or a small firm, if you don't know what the process of getting the business done is. And that's really what we focus on. Once you have that blueprint, taking the newer technologies, the subscription technologies, and applying them in a much more business-focused way, so that whatever data you have from your billing and your intake on billing, you could apply to your case management loads or your document management. And it does bring things together. And that consistency makes it far more efficient and allows the firm to focus on practicing law and not maintaining a server room with IT folks and everything else. So it's a business compression, I guess, maybe one of the better terms for law firms. But the whole thing begins with understanding the processes, and that's what we do. We come in and ask questions that most attorneys and, you know, even admins in smaller firms have never really had to ask themselves. We ask them why they do it this way, and they say, well, I don't know. It was like that when I got here. Don't want that. You don't want to automate that. If you automate a bad process, you get it bad faster and more noticeable. So, you know, we take a look at all of that, and then we sit down and, you know, again, integrate it into the way that firm practices law, and in a much more cost-effective manner than we ever could before.
Now, when you say understand the business, you know, you say, you know, it's important to understand your business. If I were an attorney and I'm walking into my office and this is something I want to do, you know, just, right. Okay, listen to the podcast and I want to start processing this. What are some of the questions or exercises I would ask myself to help gain more clarity? You mentioned we ask a number of questions that attorneys have never asked themselves. What would be some examples of those if someone wanted to just do it themselves for a little bit and just, you know, start?
Absolutely. I mean, that would, the payback on this piece is tremendous, because you tend to find gaps. And what you're looking for is how does the process start? Whatever we're talking about, billing. So you have a client in billing. I mean, what do we do to get the bill to, you know, the amount to the client? And what happens to it when it comes back in? And it's really more of just a drawing a diagram. We use Visio and other things to lay out, you know, the steps. And when you do that from a very high level, then as you look at it, you can say, well, wait a minute, we need to figure out, we have this, how does it get there? And well, we walk it into the office, or we send it via email, or we print it. I mean, and you, as you fill this out, and it's not a difficult thing, but it is a back and forth with the right people in the room to understand where that is. And when you finish that process, one, you have a good roadmap, which is good for training and a lot of other things. We understand how we do it in this firm, as opposed to having so-and-so tell them how we do it in this firm. I mean, if you have that down there, it's the basis for transition. It's the basis for training. It's the basis for efficiency and performance. And that's why you take the time with it. So, I mean, we would simply go through. And if there's a gap, we're going to fill it. And if there's a redundancy or a dependency that no longer is necessary, those are the kinds of things that jump out at you. And that exercise alone speeds things up and allows, you know, the firm to be more coordinated from the business and from the legal side.
Where do you tend to see that there's the most leakage, you know, or inefficiency in a firm, if you were to just look at all the firms that you've worked with over the years? Or do you typically tend to see, like, you know, pretty much every firm like kind of screws this thing up?
Well, I mean, I do think that, you know, certainly the legal profession is changing. There's a new generation of attorneys coming in. There's a new generation of clients coming in. And the expectations are much more oriented toward collaboration and towards openness and those types of things. So, I mean, the first thing is a willingness to look at that. You know, I think if attorneys, particularly smaller attorneys, take advantage of what they can do, the opportunities are huge. But I also, on the other side, if it's, you know, we're going to just stay, we've always done it this way, it's going to start to squeeze and it's going to start to be a problem. But, you know, I think that acceptance that you want to do this, that you need to look at you know, social media at some point, but it's got to be strategy. It's got to be laid out in a way that works. And when we come in, we have a 1-year contract, because it's not something that you can do in a month sometimes. And it does take on the whole firm, and it takes on the people that work there and the clients, marketing, and it's all got to kind of fit in. And the flexibility of a lot of these software packages that are out there now, the subscription service packages, you know, they take away so much of the detail work that, you know, consumes, that it's really just really focus on the process and focus on the benefit. And those two things, what are you trying to achieve? What's the business reason we're doing this? And then our whole existence depends upon us delivering. We are in a performance-based firm. So if your firm doesn't make money, we don't get paid. So, you know, we're in there with it, and we're trying to, you know, get away from the standard consulting where you pay by the hour, because you're immediately at odds in any business, but certainly with attorneys, where you're, you know, I think a project should take 20 hours to do, and I'm not paying you for 20 hours. In this way, it doesn't matter. We're going to get it done, and the result is what we get paid on. So those things, I think, have been interesting.
How do you measure that? You know, is it, you know, do you come into a firm that's doing $2 million in revenue and there's a percentage of the upside? How do you measure that performance piece?
Well, the ABA has a number of standards for law firm performance. And typically we'll go in and just have that discussion. I mean, it doesn't really matter. To us, the definition of a small firm is 5 to 10 attorneys max. We don't do anything that's that large because the impact is much easier to assess and control. But, you know, it really depends on what they want to do. If they've got, as a lot of new siloed systems and some sort of a, you know, desktop in a corner somewhere, and, you know, bringing all that together, the baselines could be, you know, expenses, billable hours. But we take a list of them based on what the firm wants to accomplish, and we agree that there will be these 4 or 5 baselines, which will determine success or failure in this area. And then, you know, from there, we take over essentially as an interim CEO. I mean, we look at the vendors and we bring those to the attention. We go back through, we, you know, pros, cons, make a selection, and make sure they get in. We're responsible for making sure the vendor does what the vendor's supposed to do. All of those things. And the biggest thing is without, you know, setting the law firm back. We don't want to disrupt business. So it's an approach that has been good. It's what we know how to do, and we need your decision making. We all get together. And it helps us from an integrity standpoint too, Adam, in that, you know, we don't get paid. We are vendor neutral. There's no point in my putting something in that isn't as good as it could be, because it's going to affect me in the end. It's not about saving money there. It's about the end goal. And I think from that perspective, you know, we get a lot of attorneys that, you know, fine, you know, you can put your money where your mouth is. And it's proved to be very good and lucrative. I mean, we have every incentive to prefer the performance of the firm and make sure that it goes, you know, where they want it to go and where we want it to go.
Now, you mentioned some baselines that you might look at for a firm to see, mm-hmm. you know, how it's going, and then make improvements on there. What are some examples of those baselines? Are they, you know, revenue? Is it sales? I mean, and then what are some common thresholds that are considered successful in those different metrics?
Well, certainly from the billing standpoint, collectibles and making, you know, how well they're doing in that area, what the gaps are. The other area is in the area of collaboration with clients. It's becoming a very client-centric universe out there right now. Clients obviously can pose a number of different threats to your productivity and to efficiency. So we look at how the clients are approached and how you're interacting with them, and some changes. Revenue, certainly one. Expenses, another one. And again, looking at these subscription services, they're very affordable and they're very manageable. You have SLA contracts that control exactly what services you're going to get. And so we take a look at how much time they're spending on system maintenance, warranty services, that sort of thing that is there now. Also taking a look at what doesn't work. I mean, where do they want to go that they can't go? Or where are the blockages in there? So it's sort of the metric that we apply from the standards of revenue and expenses, but we also take a look at, you know, this just isn't working. I mean, where our billing is, you know, 25% uncollected over 90 days. We got to change that. And that's a process of technology and business process and maybe an outside company, but that's what we've all put together and make the improvement on that.
Now, you know, if someone's sort of listening to this and they're like, you know, I'm jam-packed busy, I don't have time to go over these processes. I'm sure that's very common.
Yep.
What's your advice to someone that has that mindset of, I just don't have time to analyze these processes?
Well, and that's why we're here. I mean, it's one of those things that I think the firm needs to do. Somebody in the firm needs to understand the process. It doesn't necessarily have to be the attorney. But that's one of the reasons that we do what we do. We come in, we're an interim member of the team because we don't get paid just like no one else gets paid. So we come in and do that. I mean, I am aware, certainly, the time is money for attorneys. So we schedule meetings on a regular basis, but we take care of the nuts and bolts. And the reason they should allow us to do that is, again, the fact that our livelihood depends on doing it right. And so we will, you know, here are the challenges, then we go do them and come through. And then we present the attorney with the decision points. You know, there are three ways we can go. Here are the pros and cons. Which way would you like to go? Here are some expenses associated with it. And we do that. And as we put this together, so we have billing now working. You have some data that you can analyze. I mean, I think analytics is one of the best things that we can bring to a firm with regard to, you know, how they're doing against themselves and against some competition out there, and begin to, you know, walk into the digital marketing area and make sure that they have the capability to do that. But more importantly, make sure they have the capability to be successful. I mean, if we can double the business, and if we can really cut down, make sure that our staffing levels are where they want to be and have a plan for that. And it's part of that whole strategy down the line. So we try to do that. We still will stay with the firm. You know, we'll take on a retainer that, you know, we come in once a month or once a quarter, do some assessments for them. So we try to take that role off the plate for the firm. And that's the reason our contracts are the way they are. And that's the reason our billing is the way it is. You know, we'll,
now, you mentioned someone in the firm, you know, should be accountable for the processes, right? I mean, you know, they don't want that to be you necessarily because you're a third party. I mean, you can help with that, but like the full accountability. So if it's not an attorney, who do you typically recommend that take ownership of that role?
If it's I think any five people. In the you know, if you have someone who is in charge of the administrative side of the office, everyone seems to have someone in that role, they call it a secretary or, you know, the system or the office manager. But it's a situation, and it's not a start to finish. It's not something that somebody has to sit down for a week. But as you go to the billing system, understand and be able to articulate where the problems are or where you see them. I mean, that's the other thing about this, is that you need to have the right people. I mean, you need to have, you know, let the kickers kick and the throwers throw and the catchers catch. If you have someone who does the billing, the one thing is very sure, they know the ins and outs of it. But the one benefit of bringing somebody else in is that I don't. I mean, I would come in and I know the ins and outs of legal billing, but not your legal billing. So a lot of things that you do every day, day in and day out, you need to stop and think, you know, what is this process? Am I jumping over anything? When you say, okay, then it goes into the, you know, the main office. Okay, but how does it go? Is it electronic? You know, are you faxing it? What are you doing? Those are the kinds of detailed questions that it does pay to bring someone from the outside in. And again, because we work on a percentage basis, you know, it doesn't cost them anything for us to do that. But again, if you're going to do it in-house, I would recommend absolutely, at least at a high level, you know, understand how you get from A to B in your major business processes, and then begin to troubleshoot it. And that's something you can do over time. But the benefits are very huge, particularly for small firms.
When you document those processes, do you have any recommendations for platforms or software where the processes are documented? Where do you typically document
them? Well, I mean, we use Visio to outline specifically, you know, what the movement is, and what the, you know, what the various you know, areas are where there may be approval processes and that type of thing. But just outlining a bit, you know, just do it on a piece of paper. You know, you can just, you know, and block it in. This is the starting point. You know, okay, what are the decision points? Well, is the decision point, you know, goes this way or goes that way? Okay, and we go this way. And then you just simply think through the steps of what gets done. You key this in, and then you send the bill out, you whatever you do. And if it refines itself, but, you know, you start with a piece of paper, and it's really an exercise. If you spend 10 minutes a day in any law firm just documenting how things work, yeah, you can compile it back into a manual or through Microsoft Word or something of that nature and make it formal. But it's just that it's important, as you're going to have to change your technology at some point. And you're going to have to make things change. Courts, legislation changing, business process changing. You know, it's just good to have that as a baseline, you know, rather than scramble when you think, you know, you're going to put in a new billing system. But you want the billing system to maximize the other systems in your office, so that you're not duplicating yourself, not overcomplicating, not spending more than you need to do. That's where the strategy comes in.
Give me advice on implementing training within a law firm. based on the processes that you've built out. So, you know, going through the process, building out the processes is one thing, but then the continuity and the training and the ongoing is a completely different thing.
Training to me is the biggest liability in any technology that you're going to put into any business, really. I mean, typically they'll send a couple people out to New York, or in our case, Orlando, or wherever they go, and they spend 3 or 4 days in a hotel with, they come out smarter. They know the product. They know the changes. But it's generic. It's for all the firms that happen to be in attendance, and it's sort of a not a very good function, not to mention the fact in a small firm, they're out of the office. So it's overlooked, and it's whispered down the lane. And when we implement these subscription services, they take care of, you know, setting up training within your existing application. So when you are spending training hours, you're training on your system. You're training on billing the way you do it, and it's much more effective. You can also set up some modules for that so that, you know, you have a dashboard. The attorneys can bring it up on the dashboard, see where their staff is. If they have an e-discovery case and they don't have anyone that's really qualified in e-discovery because they haven't finished some of that training, they know it. You bring in outside counsel. You can certainly, you know, give them a brief course on how to use your system. Don't log into it until you do this, because this is how we do it. So I think the fact that there's that aspect that the training is born in your own office, and you actually train on your own system. The vendor is also responsible for upgrades and communicating that. They have a manual that they upgrade. They have service packs that come out. All of those things are done. So you're always working on the latest version of this. And you have, again, once you set it up, you're going to track your processes. Everything you do, everything you change is noted, and you can follow it. A lot of times I would go into firms and they can't do a service pack upgrade because they have custom code in there from some other, they don't even know. I think so-and-so was the IT director back then. So there's all kinds of problems. You avoid those now. I mean, you have, we used to call it one throat to choke. You have this focus, and so much comes out of that one integrated focus with this technology that, you know, it allows you to train from home and a lot of other things. And more importantly, you know, in a dashboard, where everybody is on the training, and also onboarding new help, make sure it's all consistent.
Do you have any favorite software services that you recommend and like to use? I know there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, there are. And because we are vendor neutral, I will say that we spend a lot of time with Clio, very, very solid package. But, you know, I always kind of felt, and it kind of goes back to my opening statement, that any application, any software that can play at this level, that has the capacity at whatever level they're coming in, will get the job done. Some more, you know, awkward, and some clunky, and some more expensive, but you can get it done. It really comes down to the blueprint. I mean, what is it you're getting done? And you want the flexibility. You want to be able to customize. You want to be able to ease in. You know, in the old days, you would, you know, it was not here. Then you plug it in, and boom, it's here. And you can ease things in with that. Clio is extremely good with that. Very, very easy to learn. And that's what we look at because, as you mentioned, small firms don't have the staffing and they don't have really the time. So as much time as we can save them, they can put back to something else. But it takes a little while to get there. But these packages are all designed to include billing. They include case management, document management, features that we can take on one at a time. And by the time you're done, you have integrated data. You know, you don't have to input things three times. The flexibility on reporting. You have certainly flexibility on your billing models. And you have a consistent system that will allow you to integrate with most, you know, most courthouses. And other areas, government agencies, that will save you a lot of time and integrate into LexisNexis and a lot of other things that, you know, you can use that are clunky to do the way they're currently being done.
Yeah. Well, Keith, awesome. That's great information. I just want to ask one last question before we wrap it up here. And that is, you know, do you have any thoughts on, you've been in the legal industry for quite some time, on where the legal industry is heading or changing, or if there's anything coming down the pipe that you think, you know, people should be thinking of?
Well, for my little slice of the pie, absolutely. And I do think that the advent, the change in attitude toward, you know, the new generation of clients, you know, there's a collaboration. They want to work on those things. They expect certain services. I mean, the Amazons of the world have spoiled us in many ways, but those expectations are there. The biggest thing is that, you know, it's a regulated industry. I understand that attorneys, and rightfully so, are somewhat resistant to, but yeah, you know, I think what we've tried to do is to remove, and in fact, we're in it with you. And I think that's a step. And I think other vendors you're going to see begin to do that. But I think the real trend is on this different way of running the business. You have to focus on the business. You have to have analytics. You have to stay on top of it. And clients, I think, are going to get far more demanding. And it's, you know, with retail law coming in more and more, the legal Zooms of the world, it's going to be necessary to think like that. And then we're hoping, you know, in our case, have somebody like us available to help you with that thinking. I mean, this is what we do. I'm not going to try my own case. I mean, I went to law school, but I'm not trying anything, you know, but, you know, let us, you know, let people help. And you're far better off than trying to, you know, spend a lot of your billable time doing this. But know the practice and know the business. That's where it's going.
Yeah, well, I think the technology's gotten so much more advanced in making everyone more efficient, which is in turn driving down costs. And if you're not leveraging the technology, then you're going to be less efficient. Your costs are just going to be too high. So I certainly agree with that. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, all right, Keith. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone wants to reach out and learn more about you, where would they check you out?
Well, we're at verbatimdata.com is our web address. Or they can reach out to me, just kconrad@verbatimdata.com. And you know, we're happy to talk. I mean, we're not on the clock in that sense. You know, we're trying to figure out and make the right relationship with you. So make sure it's the right way to go. So, and I'm happy to help out, you know, provide advice. I mean, it's a changing world, and you know, I think there's plenty of room for everybody.
So yeah, that's for sure. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us, and everybody.
Thank you for
having me. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks, Keith.